where the terror of you will be in the earth. Without you having to fight your battle, God will fight your battle. Come on, Jehoshaphat said, you don't even have to fight in this battle. I'm going to go before you. Put the praisers out there. Make sure somebody is calling on my name. Make sure somebody is praising me. Make sure somebody is worshiping. And when you worship, you create a capacity for my presence. And when my presence is on you, terror will be on your enemies. I decree and declare an increase, hallelujah, of the presence of God in this season. That's going to cause some people who are nonchalant with you to start freaking out.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Noahic Covenant. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7.
It's on the screen. Let us move with God. And God bless Noah and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth, and in every bird of the sky, with everything that creeps on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. And all the fish of the sea into your hands, they are given. Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you, as I gave the green plant. Only you should not eat flesh with its life or with blood. That is its blood. Surely I will require your lifeblood. For every beast, I will require it from every man, even every man's brother. I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. We're dealing with the covenant keeping God. I preached several messages entitled Examine the Covenant. Glory to God. This morning I want to share with you the Noahic Covenant. Why are covenants so important? You're going to understand how God worked with man in the past and how it has progressed even to the point of the death of Jesus, and that he's a covenant-keeping God today and he doesn't break his covenant for no one. We may fail, but our God never fails. And this message is designed to put our confidence, to get us to put our confidence back in the covenant-keeping God. Father, thank you for this message. For this moment, I pray that you would reduce me and increase your spirit. Allow your spirit to prevail. I decrease that you would increase. Go before the word and prepare us with an ear to hear, a mind to comprehend specific details of the covenant. Give me a heart and your people a heart to receive and the spirit to contain your word. We will give you praise for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, singers. Thank you, minstrels, for your help. We're dealing with covenant. Covenant is a sacred agreement between God and his children. A sacred agreement between God and his children. God sets specific conditions for covenant, as you can see in Genesis chapter 9, and he promises to bless us as we obey those conditions. Making and keeping covenant requires us to receive the blessings God has promised, and when we choose not to keep covenant, we cannot receive the entirety of the blessing that he has for us. God doesn't fail. Amen. He's consistent, and he wants us to be consistent as well. Here he speaks didactically to Noah and his sons to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. The same command, the same admonishment that he gave to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2. Here he's trying it again. We don't see a covenant that he made with Adam. We do see a promise in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman, this is verse 15, will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. The seed, Paul picked it up in the New Testament and said he wasn't speaking to seeds. He wasn't plural here. He was specific, and the seed of the woman, speaking specifically to a man that will be born. Glory to God. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government shall be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called. We're talking about one, not seeds, but the seed of the woman. His name is Jesus. And he bruised the head of the serpent. And the serpent bruised his heel. We know that he was pegged to a cross, and he was hurt by the Roman soldiers. The Bible says, surely he bore our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. Hallelujah. Bruised by those soldiers. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Come on, help me. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Come on, you know the word. And with his stripes, we are healed. I decree healing on the body of Christ through the blood, the sacrificial offering of our Lord Jesus. And it should be something stirred in us when we hear about what he did for us. Not the seeds, but the seed of the woman. He gives the same blessing and command to Noah and his sons. Be fruitful and multiply. Then he says, the fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast. The fear of you and the terror of you will be upon every beast. In other words, animals will run from you. They will have to be tamed. They will recognize that you're of a different species. They will recognize that you have something on you that God placed on you. When you come in the midst, they will back up. It doesn't matter how big they are. They could be as big as an elephant. But when you come in the midst, the terror of you will be upon them. We're living in a time now, you step in front of an elephant, he may squash you. You walk in the midst of some lions, they may tear you asunder. They don't care now. But here, the promise was, if you walk in my stack, there's some things from the animal kingdom that you don't have to deal with. Let me just help you. There's a covenant that God wants his people to have where the terror of you will be in the earth. Without you having to fight your battle, God will fight your battle. Come on, Jehoshaphat said, you don't even have to fight in this battle. I'm going to go before you. Put the praisers out there. Make sure somebody is calling on my name. Make sure somebody is praising me. Make sure somebody is worshiping. And when you worship, you create a capacity for my presence. And when my presence is on you, terror will be on your enemies. I decree and declare an increase, hallelujah, of the presence of God in this season. That's going to cause some people who are nonchalant with you to start freaking out. When you step in the room, something, whoa, I can't say anything to her because she's got presence on her. I can't do him any kind of way. I've got to let God work with him. I got to watch what I do. I had a dream last night. God is going to start visiting your enemies with dreams. Glory to God. Thank you, God. The Bible says even when Pilate was about to sentence Jesus, his wife was stirred in the night season. She had a dream. Do not mess with this one. Don't touch this one. Please don't. I had a dream last night. I feel the terror. There's something about this one. He's not saying things. He's not trying to defend himself. But I feel the terror in my soul. Please don't touch him. Glory to God. It's the same when God puts presence on you, he'll let your enemies start having dreams about you and the terror of who you are, the respect for who they should have for you, their ability to salute you in the midst of it all. He'll make them lock up and salute you. And I decree and declare, and you shall go on forward in the name of Jesus because of the covenant keeping God that's in your life. Glory to God. The fear and the terror will be upon you from every beast. Glory to God. Every beast would have fear and terror. Glory to God. Even the birds that's in the sky. Hallelujah. And everything that creeps on the ground, snakes would start running from you, not to you. Thank you, Lord. We see in Moses' time, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but in the book of Numbers, as they complained and became very nonchalant about the blessing of the Lord. I don't want you to complain not one time this week. I want you to give God praise for what he's already done. In the name of Jesus. Come on, he's been good to us. When you start complaining, glory lifts off your life. Let me say it again. When you complain, glory lifts off of your life. The Bible teaches us that as they complain, way was hard, yeah, but they just complain. Instead of remembering what God did before the gas prices went up, you just start remembering what God, before you had to pay $5 a gallon, but you know you spent that in coffee. For one cup of coffee, you spent $5, but you can't handle $5 a gas. For one cup? Do I have to keep going with that? I want you to praise him for Q-tips. Praise him for toilet tissue. Praise him for small things. Praise him for the carpet. Praise him for the tile. Praise him that your tires are still there. They're not bald. Praise him for the shoes that you have on. Praise him for your underwear. Praise him for everything. Praise him that you're tight. Praise him for everything that he's done. Praise him for your steak and your shrimp. Praise him. You don't have to be in the Old Testament now. You can eat your lobster. Praise him for everything that he's always done. Thank him for your children. Thank him for all that. Thank him for the job that he gave you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to thank you. I thank you for the AC. Somebody don't have it. I thank you for all that's going on. I give you praise for that ride that I have. I thank you for my grandmama, my father, my mother. I thank you for my children. I give you praise for my grands. I give you praise for my church. I thank you that we're still moving forward. We're giving you glory, praise, and honor for all that you've done. I give you glory, praise. I'm going to slap some glory on you. Slap some glory on you. Slap some glory. I'm going to adorn you. I'm going to make sure you have everything you need, God. You don't have to let a rock cry out for me. The rocks will not cry out for me. I'm going to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for all that you've done. Come on, Truth Reveal, Trim Nation around the world. Let's give God praise. Come on, he's been way too good. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Whew. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to hurt a few people here, and only do not eat the flesh with its life in it. I need y'all to make sure they cook your meat real good. You don't need no blood in it. He said, listen now, I don't deal with that. You can eat the flesh, but make sure the blood is not in it. Some of us are way too raw. Amen. It's right there in the text. You shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Notice what he told Noah. You got some carnivorous folk up in here. But I need you to make sure all the blood is out of it. If you know anything about harvesting meat, you got to make sure you bleed it. They do it for chickens. They do it for pigs. Amen. And I'll just move on from that. But there's some, you got to watch that. Look at the scripture. There's a reason for that. Life, the greatest part of you is not what we see. The life of your flesh is your blood. It's the life of you. Take the blood out. I don't care what's happening. Everything is going to crash. That's the life. That's the best part. And that's why when God wanted life for life, he always required blood to be shed. So instead of killing us because of our sins, he used substitutes for it. We'll deal with it when we deal with the Israeli covenant or with the Mosaic covenant. I like that word, mosaic, just like a picture mixed all together, all of these different parts. I want to incorporate that, the mosaic in our church, not the Mosaic law, but the mosaic. But even in the law of Moses, as you look at certain things, he required life for life. And instead of killing his people, they had to constantly bring animals to the altar and sacrifice them and allow them to bleed, then roast the flesh. Because to deal with sin or proclivity, we must have life for life or the best of your flesh, which is blood. That's what's required by God. That's why the book of Hebrews is so important for you to read. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Hebrews. But Bishop, I don't understand it. Read it in the NIV or the New Living Translation and get an understanding of what God transferred from us. The children of Israel had the Aaronic priesthood. A lot of New Testament churches want to dress up like that, dress up in all of the garb going back to Aaron's day. But we need to be in the New Testament picking up the day of Christ, who set us free from rituals and all of these other things and pulled us out of religion and took us into a relationship. And so there's no need to go back to those old things, especially if you don't know what it means, when you can have a free will, a free spirit working with God. If I could do the Bible on parade, 21st century, instead of dressing up like we look like Adam and Eve wearing fig leaves, what I would do, glory to God, we may have to do this in this area. What I would do is have baby carriages being pushed down the street in our parade, representing new beginnings, and fresh flowers, new beginning, baby carriage. Everybody's pushing a baby carriage to represent Genesis. Glory to God. And what is the next book after Genesis? Exodus. And then I would have everybody, whatever year you got saved in and the clothes you were wearing when you went to the club, that's what you would put on for Exodus. I was an ex-drug dealer, an ex-fornicator, an ex-this and an ex-that. Coming out of, I was ex-this, but now I'm here. That's what you would see for Exodus. What is the next book? Leviticus. Now we would have choir robes. And we will be singing modern day praise unto the Lord out of the book of Leviticus. But all of your robes and garb coming down the street. What is the next book? That's the pastoral book. Glory to God. The wilderness wanderings. The wilderness wanderings. If there ever was a time where you didn't feel like you measured up or that you could connect with the things of God or you went astray, whatever you were wearing during those times or the toggery that you wore when you first got saved, that's what you would see in the book of Numbers. A mirror of all of that. People trying to follow God from their various aspects of life. And the last one is the book of Deuteronomy. Right? And we would make sure that's the law of God given them to, before they crossed over into the promised land. And we would have the law of God displayed there, the law of God, even messages being preached about the law of God. I give you the power to make wealth, even glory to God. I give you the power to make wealth that you would establish my covenant. And then we can go on into Joshua, and that's the warrior clothes on. And go on into judges and have your judges' robes on and see people being governed by judges. And then move over into the book of 1 and 2 Samuel. And just keep doing that, making it modern for our times. Glory to God. The church is supposed to be a progression in its expression compared to the day that it is existing. Instead of trying to go back and trying to do what Moses did, why are we doing that when God has a fresh covenant for us? We're examining the Noahic covenant so you can pick up some things as we progress and move through the word to see what God has offered you for this moment and this time. Glory, hallelujah. And so this church, our church, our goal is to ensure that our church and our church families in this particular generation and the next are led by strong, fresh, vibrant, and dynamic Christ-like men and women who believe that building strong men and women of character and conviction is one of the highest qualities or highest priorities of our day. It's to make sure that we build men and women of character. And the more you know about God's covenant, the more character and stature will grow inside of you. I want to encourage you when discipleship training picks up this year to get involved. It is tailored, especially to men. And a lot of times men don't get involved in discipleship training. It is the woman. But it's designed to get you right, to say it's time to pray in your own home. And the wife does not have to lead that all of the time. For you to have a spiritual inclination yourself, to be able to pick things up in the atmosphere and say, you know what, there's a little bit too much tension in the room. Maybe we need to dedicate a day of fasting, or maybe we need to just pray for a moment. Or maybe we need to get quiet and not attack. God wants you to be able to feel him, to your spiritual antennas to go up, and you can pick up things in the atmosphere. He wants you to be, man, more Christ-like. Glory to God. That in everything he might be preeminent. I didn't say that in everything you might be preeminent. This is out of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. But in everything he might be preeminent. He's raising up men, leaders that are going into the next, that are assertive. And he also wants you to be accessible. Not only assertive, but accessible. He wants you to be able or capable, men, to pick up what he's teaching and then put it into practice. Glory to God. He wants us to aim and he wants us to serve. He wants us to aim and he wants us to serve. He wants us to aim. One of the ways to aim is to form your foundation. Form it. Form your foundation. I'm going to get into the word here in a moment. Form your foundation. A lot of times we like to perform, but the performance is the last stage. We must form. Glory to God. We're not looking for talented people first. We're looking for people who recognize if you're going to go up in God, we need to go deeper first. We need to check the form. Discipleship helps us to build our form. Becoming committed to the things of God helps us to build the form. Jesus said before he ever gave them the power to heal or do anything, as he picked his disciples, he said, come and follow me. You know why? Because in following me, I'm going to help you with your form. Second stage is storm. Form it, storm it. In other words, whatever's formed will be challenged. Don't think it strange when trials come against you, because whatever is formed by God will be challenged not only by the devil, but by God. I believe God has given this church what we call a wise master builder's anointing. A wise master builder. A master builder or a builder can take the same size blocks and create an edifice. But a wise master builder can take different size blocks that don't even look like they would connect with each other, put them together and create a structure that is even stronger than a builder's facility. All of us come from different backgrounds, different shapes. We may be, most of us may be of the same ethnicity, but believe us, our stories are not the same. There are people in this room, you couldn't handle their story. You just couldn't handle what they've had to go through. And that's all right. But God's grace is working it all. And one of the things he working in it all to will and to do of his good pleasure. One of the things he does to qualify you to be a part of the building, he always ignites you with the fire of rejection. That's why all of us should be able to find common ground, because we've all had to deal with a certain amount of rejection. It is required to become a part of the building that he's created. Glory to God. And he's the wise master builder, making it all work together in the house of God. So all of us will have a sense of relevance as we're placed in the house. If I know you went through rejection, you know I went through rejection, we should be able to hold hands and walk forward.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from the Noahic Covenant, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2203-1308. That's reference number 2203-1308.
Bishop has been working on his new podcast, Envision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This podcast is designed to impact nations. You will be able to subscribe to Envision on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or any podcast platform. Let's support our bishop by sharing the news with friends, family, and coworkers today. Summer is winding down and the Back to School Bash will take place on Saturday, July 30th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. We will distribute school supplies to students enrolled in kindergarten through 12th grade. Backpacks, pencils, markers, notebooks, and more supplies can be dropped off in the Christian Education Department. And if you would like to volunteer to assist with this event, please email ced@truthreveal.org. Truth Reveal, in partnership with MeloCare, will host a CPR first aid training for youth ages 8 to 17 on Sunday, July 31st, from 8 to 11 a.m. Registration is limited. Helps Community Initiatives will sponsor the first 25 children who register by July 24th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app for details and log on to our website to register.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.